Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan anu Torah emet v'chayim b'dikeinu. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha-Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu ha-or la-olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. So yes, that was a long reading, and today I'm only going to be looking at the Torah from the Baha message, from the Baha scriptures, and I want to look at the year of Yovel, because that to me is an amazing year. And I've titled my message, "The Kingdom of the Land Shall Not Be Sold Forever," or not be sold for perpetuity. And I know it's a double parish shot, but I just want to concentrate on Yovel, because it's a really important year, and it to me is something that is often hard to grasp the concept of it. So I want to go through that pretty thoroughly today. So if we can go to the slide 2, please. For Vayikra 25:8-10. It says, "You are to count 7 Shabbats of years, 7 times 7 years, that is 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a blast on the shofar. You are to sound the shofar all through your land, and you are to consecrate the 50th year, proclaiming freedom throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It will be a Yovel for you. You will return everyone to the land he owns, and everyone is to return to his family." And in verses 23 to 28 of the same chapter, it says, "The land is not to be sold into perpetuity or forever, because the land belongs to me," who is Yehovah. "You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. Therefore, when you sell your property, you must include the right of redemption. That is, if one of you becomes poor and sells some of his property, his next of kin can come back and buy what his relative sold. If the seller has no one to redeem it, but becomes rich enough to redeem it himself, he will calculate the number of years the land was sold for, refund the excess to its buyer, and return to his property. If he hasn't sufficient means to get it back, then what he sold will remain in the hands of the buyer until the year of Yovel. In the Yovel, the buyer will vacate it and the seller return to his property." And further down in verses 35 to 44, it says, "A member of your people have become poor so that he can't support himself among you. You are to assist him as you would be a foreigner or a temporary resident, so that he can continue living with you. Do not charge him interest or otherwise profit from him, but fear your Elohim so that your brother can continue living with you. Do not take interest when you loan him money or take a profit when you sell him food. I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to give you the land of Canaan and be your Elohim. If a member of your people has become poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him do the work of a slave. Rather, you are to treat him as an employee or a tenant. He will work for you until the year of Yovel. Then he will leave you, he, his children with him, and return to his own family and regain his possession of his ancestral land. For they are my slaves whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, they are not to be sold as slaves. Do not treat him harshly, but fear your Elohim. Concerning the men and women, concerning the men and the women you may have as slaves, you are to buy men and women slaves from the nation surrounding you." So they could buy slaves from people around them, like the Canaanite or the Hittite or the Yebusi, whoever, but they couldn't use their own people as slaves. So going back to verse 23, Well, we said the land is not to be sold in perpetuity or forever, because the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. Well, that applies to us too. Even though, you know, we are in this world, not of this world, we are only here as temporary residents. And that's why we have to look at ourselves as being in the world and not of the world. This chapter, to me, speaks about the year of Ovel, but also about redemption, which is getting a possession back again that belongs to us. Vayikra teaches that a special year of the 25 teaches that a special year of Yovel, of which many of you might know as Jubilee, and it occurred every 50 years, twice a century. How can it be twice a century? Wouldn't it lead into the next century? Not the way it's calculated. Jubilee or Yovel is actually an anglicized word, and transliterated from the Hebrew into English. And the actual Hebrew word is Yovel, and that's why we use it. Yovel was also how the Hebrews described the blasting of the trumpet during the 50th year. And remember, on Yom Kippur, on the 50th year, they were to blow the Yovel. When does the 50th year begin? Anyone give me a date? Well, I'd say that the 50th year will begin on the first day of Aviv that's coming up after the Yovel. So they've got 6 months to prepare the land and to sow the crops, get everything ready, so that they've got plenty there to be able to harvest for and keep going for that 50th year. They're not going to just all of a sudden say, this is the 50th year, now whatever's there is whatever's left, because they just finished a harvest. So the 50th year will actually start. The Yovel has to be blown, the shofar has to be blown all around the land, and it's not going to be blown on one day, even though they start it on Yom Kippur. So it's always at the beginning, not at the end. When we, in our anglicized world, when we have a birthday and our children will tell us, I'm turning 10 or I'm turning 11 or I'm turning something, they're actually not. They've already lived the whole 10 years before they become 10. And that's not counting what was in the womb. So they're in their 10th year. Once they've turned 9, they're already in their 10th year. So that's how the biblical world works it, where we celebrate a birthday at the end of the year. After you've done one full year on the earth, now you're one. Okay? But the biblical year is slightly different. So the lands and even the Israeli people that are sold return to the original owners. Yehovah said that the land should not be sold forever. Yah originally gave them the land of Canaan, and he would not let them lose it. He actually said it was his land. It wasn't their land, it was his land. So they were more or less boarders staying with him, sojourners and strangers, as we might call them today. We are not meant to live permanently on this earth. That's not Yah's dream. We are to live permanently and eternity with him. And that's why we are temporary residents on this earth. So they weren't to sell it, since it was not really their own land to sell anyway. But there is always the thought that Yah does not give blessings, but only to see people lose them. Yehovah made sure of that by the security of the Yovel. And through the Yovel, we get redemption. Redemption of the land, redemption of the slave, back to the time when you were struck with poverty or for some reason you had to sell. Then the buyer had to understand that you were able to receive it back again. That was how it was sold, under that understanding. Can you imagine people having to give up homes because of dire straits today with the interest levels that are going up and things that are happening? That they can look back and think, oh, that's okay, because in so many years' time I'll be able to get that back. We can't do that today. But they could then. And they would wait until the year of Yovel and they'd have it returned to them for free. The same occurred with people who were sold. But Yehovah would not allow a buyer of a person to think the person was their slave. They would be treated as a tenant. They had already been slaves in Egypt, and they were brought out of bondage when they went into the land. They could not be ruled over with severity as they had by the Egyptians. They would be regarded as hired servants, and they would return home in the year of Yovel. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25:39-44, it says, if a member of your people has become poor among you and sells himself, you are not to make him do the work of a slave. Rather, you are to treat him like an employee or a tenant. He will work for you until the year of Yovel. Then he will leave you and his children with him and return to his own family and regain possession, get the redemption, of his ancestral land. For they are my slaves who I brought out of the land of Egypt. Therefore they are not to be sold as slaves. Do not treat them harshly, but fear your Elohim. Concerning the men and women you may have as slaves, you are to buy men and women slaves from the nations surrounding them. So they could do whatever they wanted with those people, but not with their own. Therefore, any of the old servants and the sold land lost due to poverty were all restored in the year of Yovel. Yeshua himself picked up on this and spoke of it in a spiritual sense at the very start of his ministry, when we read in our Ketuvot Shelekim readings earlier from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21 this afternoon. He said, Yeshua returned to the Galil in the power of the Ruach, and the reports about him spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their Knessets or synagogues, and everyone respected him. And then he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On Shabbat, he went to the Knesset we read today, or synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, the Ruach of Yehovah is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renew the sight of the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of favour of Yehovah. And after closing the scroll and returning it to the Shemash, he sat down and the eyes of everyone in the Knesset were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. Today, as you have heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled. He said that he was to proclaim a year of favour of Yehovah. That is a year of Yovel. That is the year of favour, when everything is returned. This was the statement Yeshua made in reference to Yovel. The day was Yehovah's acceptance of time for the year of Yehovah to come. And this statement of Yeshua is actually saying that the entire messianic age of the kingdom of Yehovah is like one long year of Yovel that began when he came and started ministering here on this earth. The gospel of good news would be preached to the poor. It was the poor who were sold as servants. It was the poor who sold their lands in the days of the Tanakh. But there were also those who were spiritually poor, who were sold under sin, and they still exist today as well. Adam sold us all out the ultimate return to the original ownership, is getting us back to the state Adam had been in before he fell in the Garden of Eden, or the Gan Eden. The ultimate Yovel is returning to Yehovah's kingdom and to his glory. Adam fell, Adam's fall made us all sinners. He sold us all. As a result, people are brokenhearted. We are captives. We are blind. We are bruised. And speaking out a revelation is always indicated by the sounding of a shofar or trumpet. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 58, verse 1a, it says, "Shout out loud, don't hold back. Raise your voice like a shofar." See, I didn't make it up. It's in the scripture. And that is why we read Yeshua's voice sounding like that shofar or trumpet right throughout the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, or Yochanan says, "I came to be in the Ruach on the day of Yehovah," which is the day of Shabbat, "and I heard behind me a loud voice like a shofar." And further down in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice like a shofar, which I heard speaking with me, said before said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things." When you read these two verses in the English Bible, they say trumpet. In the Hebrew text, it's definitely written shofar or a ram's horn. And I always check the English. I always check the Hebrew when I read the scriptures, whether I'm reading them in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I check the scriptures to see what the actual word is. Are they saying Elohim for God? Are they saying Yehovah? Are they saying trumpet, shofar, and vice versa? So the Hebrew text is definitely written shofar, a ram's horn used for the long blast. There's our ram's horn. We are so blessed to have a ram's horn. We are so blessed to have someone who can blow a ram's horn. And Minister Malachy has been doing it for 25 years now, and he does it quite well. Now, for that ram's horn to exist, a ram had to be sacrificed. The ram had to be killed so that we could have a ram's horn. Yeshua is the lamb. Yeshua is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of this very world. We are blasting a long message through the death of Yeshua HaMashiach. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. When Yeshua was revealed in Luke and introduced himself by speaking to the congregation in the synagogue, he began by reading about how his coming fulfilled the year of Yovel. This was the one message amongst all the messages that he could have started out with. The message with which he could start out would be the most significant message of his entire ministry. And it just so happened to be a year of Yovel message. Yeshua was actually speaking on the Yovel of Yovelim, or Jubilee of Jubilees. That it was a real Yovel. He was speaking how people would return to the state that Yehovah placed us in the way back in Adam's time when Yah placed Adam in the Gan Eden, with blessings and dominion and everlasting life. But we were sold. So the entire Ketuvah Shelakim, or New Testament, is simply the proclamation that everything mankind lost when he was sold under sin in the days of Adam is restored once again. The Yovel instructions in the Torah are about people and lands, and said that the land would be bought back and redeemed. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, verse 48, it says, "He may be redeemed after he has been sold, one of his brothers may redeem him. But if something cannot be redeemed by money, then it will wait until the year of Yovel and then return anyway. In Matityahu chapter 18, we see the Yovel principle. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but paraphrase it for you. A man was owed myriads of talents to a master, or talents or silver, probably insurmountable millions of dollars in our money today. So he couldn't pay him back. The Lord or master forgave the man as though a year of Yovel had occurred. And likewise, we cannot pay back the price we owe for our sins. It was too much. We owe a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash away our sins. And only Yeshua could do that. Every time someone shares the gospel message, the shofar of Yovel sounds, calling the listener, time to come back to Eden or Eden. In other words, get eternal life that Adam was once able to obtain through the tree of life, through faith. Silver was always associated with redemption. Hence, silver trumpets were ordered to be made during the making of the tabernacle and all its instruments. Also, you will recall that it was 30 pieces of silver that Yehuda Iscariot was paid for Yeshua to be taken and crucified. And his crucifixion paid the price to redeem us. His blood was sacrificed for our redemption. Just like the lamb's blood was sacrificed for the shofar to be in existence, Yeshua's blood was our redemption, and it still is to this very day. And what is interesting is the 50th in Hebrew. The 50th in Hebrew is our festival coming up called Shavuot, seven of sevens, or seven times seven. The day of Shavuot will be on the 28th of this month, which is 50 days after the Shabbat following the Feast of First Fruits, which is actually the day straight after Yeshua's crucifixion and the day he rose from the grave. So it always starts, always happens after Shabbat, so it doesn't matter where in that Pesach week Shabbat falls, it always starts on the Sunday after that first Shabbat, which means that Yeshua rose on the first day of the week, so that's when the first count starts for Shavuot. And that's how Shavuot is calculated, by seven times seven of that day of the first day after I'll get it out, Pesach. Then you count seven sevens, which gets you to the 49, which will bring you to a Shabbat. But the next day, the 50th day, is Shavuot. Shavuot is never ever a specific date. It's always the first day of a week, because the way it's calculated, it will always fall on our Sunday. But the year of Yovel is the 50th year, which is equivalent to the Shabbats but in years. And it's also the first year of the next count. So when you've got 49 years, the 50th year is your Yovel year, but it's also the first year of the next count. And that's how you get to Yevelim in one year, one of our years, in one century. I've already shown you where Yeshua referred to the entire gospel age as the year of Yehovah, So the entire gospel age is actually a Shavuot age, or as Christians call it, Pentecostal age, because they take it from the Greek. Never meant to be a Pentecostal denomination. We were always meant to be one. But it's a Shavuot age. It's an age of redemption experience. It's the experience that occurred in Acts chapter 2. Yehovah wants every person, every denomination, to have the Shavuot experience of redemption and being able to and being immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh. If we go to Acts 2, verse 39, it says, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, as many as Yehovah your Elohim may call." And in verse 4 of Acts 2, it says, "They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages, as the Ruach enabled them to speak." As you all know, there's a weekly seventh-day Shabbat, that's today, or Sabbath, that occurs every 7 days, the seventh day of the week. In Hebrew, it's counted Yom Rishon, Yom Tevi'i, Yom Shlishi, and it goes on to the Yom Shishi on the sixth, and Shabbat is the seventh. It's not Yom Shavua or Shavuot, it's Shabbat for the seventh day, if you were counting the days in Hebrew. Shabbat is a special day. It was a day of a day of rest. It was a high holy day. And because it also applies to the 50th day, and it will always fall on the first day of the week, the 50th day. So you've got two whole holy days side by side. There were always seventh year Shabbatot. The seventh year was when the land was meant to be rested. Okay, so the land was rested on the seventh year. Every 7 years was a Shabbat rest for the soil, so it could regenerate. The entire year prohibited anyone from planting or reaping anything in the ground except for taking food, and that was then considered common for everyone to take freely. No owner of the land could restrict the food on his land for himself, and the manner in which the people survived was by Yah blessing the land in the sixth year to produce enough for the next 3 years. The next 3 years is the seventh year, the year of planting, then waiting for the harvest. So it was 3 years when they had an ordinary Shabbat year of rest. So they were not to plant and reap in the eighth year in which they would start planting again. They would still eat from that sixth year's planting. But when we read in Vayikra Leviticus 25, 4 and 5, it says, "But in the seventh year is to be a Shabbat of complete rest for you, a Shabbat of Yehovah. You will neither sow your field nor prune your grapevines. You are not to harvest what grows by itself from the seeds left by your previous harvest, and you are not to gather grapes from your unattended vine. It is a year of complete rest of the land." And further down in Leviticus, or Vayikra, verses 20 to 22, it says, "If you ask, if we aren't allowed to sow seed or harvest what our land produces, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Then I will order my blessing on you during the sixth year so that the land brings forth enough produce for 3 years. The eighth year you will sow your seed but eat the old, the stored produce until the ninth year, that is until the produce of the eighth year comes in, and you will eat the old stored food." So Yehovah made it so that he would provide for them as long as they obeyed his mitzvot and his commands. Now, what happened after every 7 years? They have a Shavuot year or a Yovel year. So there was a second 2 years in a row of non-planting. In Vayikra 25, 11 and 12, it says, "The 50th year will be a Yovel for you. In that year you are not to sow, harvest what grows by itself, or gather the grapes of unattended vines, because it is the ovel. It will be holy for you. Whatever the fields produce will be food for all of you. So these are the same laws for the Yovel year, which is the eighth year, as it was for the ordinary Shabbat year. So now watch this. How many Shabbatot between each year of Yovel? Seven. Oh, between each year of Yovel is 49 years, sorry. You are to count seven Shabbats of years. Seven times seven. That's 49 years. So between each Yovel was 7 years Shabbat years. 49 years would bring you to the 50th year for a Shavuot year. So there would be seven Shabbat years, each year allowing you no sowing or reaping. And the last Shabbat year, or the 50th year, also you had no Shabbat reaping or sowing or sowing seeds. So it's a 50th year, are two Shabbat years in a row. That's a stretch, isn't it? 4 years without planting? 4 years. That takes a lot of faith to be able to say, hey, we can't do this, but this is what Yah commanded. It meant that there was going to be a double portion. The seventh Shabbat year plus the next 50th year of Yovel, 2 years in a row of no sowing or reaping, double portions are significant within the scriptures. The firstborn son always received a double portion of land compared to all the other sons in the man's family. Of course, the girls received nothing. Elisha asked for a double portion of Eliyahu's anointing and power, and Eliyahu told him if he would see Eliyahu ascend. Elisha saw it, and the mantle of anointing fell on him. In Acts chapter 1, the apostles saw Yeshua ascend into heaven as Elisha saw Eliyahu, and went to Jerusalem, and the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh fell on them, and they received power and did things greater than what Yeshua ever did. So they got a double portion. The apostles preached about Yeshua the day they spoke with tongues, but it was foretold the people would not listen. Many will not listen to the Yovel message of deliverance and redemption, but those who will return to the place where Yah first put man in the Garden of Eden. That was in the garden for them to receive. What was in the garden for them to receive? It was a tree of life. I wear my tree of life all the time. It's around my neck and it's on my Torah, my shawl. Because to me, the tree of life is just so important. Our aim should always be to be where the tree of life is. Adam could have eaten from the tree of life when he was in Gan Eden, but he chose the tree of good and evil instead. That he wanted the knowledge of good and evil. If only he'd chosen the tree of eternal life, then he would have got the knowledge of good and evil anyway. But he didn't choose the tree of life. Yehovah's Torah says that what Yehovah gives cannot be lost forever. The gospel truth is that Yeshua HaMashiach was slain from the foundation of the world. He knew before he was even born into this world as a human being that he would be born to be slain. Before Adam ever sinned, there was a salvation plan already set in place to redeem man again. It took into account Adam's sin. In other words, man would not be lost forever. Yehovah would make sure that part of mankind would come back. There would be a remnant. Yehovah always had a remnant plan in place. We saw the example with Noah. Then, when his people were taken and destroyed and captured, he always made sure some were left to continue on. Whether they were taken off to Babylon or whether they were destroyed in 70 AD and what happened. Many died, never returned, but there was always a remnant that stood in place of the whole group that did return. The Torah observant messianic community is the remnant of humanity that Yehovah brings back to himself today. And the reason it's the Torah observant ones that are the remnant is because we have to obey Yehovah's mitzvot. We cannot get back into the Garden of Eden or Gan Eden and to be in the presence of Yehovah without being Torah obedient. But there's also the redemption of anything in the land of Canaan that Yehovah gave to us. Spiritually speaking, Canaan is our kingdom realm of blessing from Yehovah. And while we are in Canaan with blessings, we may grow poor and lose a blessing Yah gave to us. Yah said that the land or the blessing is not sold forever. He made provision through redemption and Yovel to ensure that it returns. How many of you have once had a blessing from Yah but lost it due to spiritual poverty? How many of you had the joy of Yehovah or the dance in the Ruach or liberty or even a ministry or a gift of the Ruach and the gifts and the calling just disappeared? Yah does not repent over giving you a gift. The land of Canaan was a gift to Israel, but they did not work for it. And so are the things I mentioned above. Canaan's land stood for our spiritual blessings, and they will not be sold forever. If you have sold these out for any reason at all, Yehovah has ensured that they will always be able to return one day. One day there will be such a great Yovel that we have never known. Such things that were lost could be redeemed at a price. However, when we look at it from a different angle, in Hebrews Messianic or Messianic Jews chapter 6, it says that what we have now in the Messianic age is a mere taste of the world to come. It's a mere taste. You can just have a little taste now. What's coming later, I can't wait for. I feel sad for my mother, who's 102 but still too scared to die. And yet, me, I can't wait. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I can't wait to be in Yah's presence. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, 26 and 27, it says that the seller has no one to redeem it, but becomes rich enough to redeem it himself. He will calculate the number of years the land was sold for, refund the excess to its buyer, and return to his property. And one day, if you continue to serve Yeshua faithfully and in a holy manner, the resurrection will see us, each and every one of us, enter glory in new bodies. You will have joy unspeakable. You will have the chance to dance in the Ruach. And you will have ever whatever it was that slipped away from under Yeshua's redemption. But if you can garner the price before that special year of Yovel arrives, you can get those things now before the Yovel comes. Redemption is always paid for by the blood of Yeshua. In Kefa Aleph or 1 Peter 1 verses 18 to 19, it says, you should be aware that the ransom paid to free you from the worthless way of life which your fathers passed on to you did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold. On the contrary, it was a costly sacrificial death of the Messiah as a lamb without defect or spot. And in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Yehovah persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation." You, everyone sitting here, everyone listening online, can redeem all that you have lost by the blood of Yeshua. But what does that mean? You become spiritually poor by losing your faith. Maybe you lost sight of yourself and you being one, Yeshua being one with you. The blood of Yeshua paid for you to be saved and redeemed. And he redeemed you to Yehovah. And when you lose faith and you give in to doubts, you slip away from the victory you had. It could be a crisis of peril in your walk where something happened to cause you to forget about faith and forget about Yah and forget about every blessing that you ever had until you sold your dance and your blessings out. You can get it back, and you can get it back now. You don't have to wait for the glory of Yahweh. You can redeem it this very day. Using the blood simply means that you have faith that because you are a believer in Yeshua's stake, where he shed his blood, then you claim whatever you have lost that is part of his blessings. Kingdom living is for now. We don't have to wait for the time, whether it's a Yovel year, whenever it is. We can have it now. We don't have to wait until we can return to be with him. Once we live according to his word, according to his Torah, and let go of the things of the world. Because once we hang on to the things of the world, we are slaves to the world. We are slaves to no one. We have been redeemed. Can we all say amen to that? So that you can live in your Yovel year. Any questions? No, well, we'll move on to the remembrance service.